If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3.
Philadelphia.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia.
Free speech lives here.
It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this final day of May. It is Friday, May 31st, and this is indeed Kale and Company, right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube. As we head until 10 o'clock this morning, 855-839-1210 is the phone number. On social media at 1210 WPHT, I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Don Stenslin with the news, Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board, Phil Almquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. A action-packed Friday show, a historic Thursday afternoon, and I'm sure there are many people with many things to say, and we will flush it all out and hash it all out for the next 4 hours. Sean Farish will join us, originally scheduled for 9 o'clock this morning. He will join us at 8:30. And on a serious day like this, not so much the imitation from Sean, but the actual thoughts, analysis, and reaction from Sean on the guilty verdict of yesterday. Donald Trump found guilty on 34 charges in Manhattan, New York. Dawn, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, you could say Donald J. Trump certainly galvanized the Republican Party.
You could say that indeed.
Brought everybody together.
Yes. Gregory, how are you?
What are we going to talk about today?
I don't know.
It's such a slow news day.
Wow.
Nothing to talk about.
All right. Your favorite ice cream. What's your favorite Jersey Shore ice cream? 855-839-1210.
Feels like a day after the Eagles lose a big football game show where I'm just going to be a switchboard operator, give out the phone number, and allow people to vent and justifiably so.
I mean, that's what we're here for, right?
Yep.
We're here to be the megaphone for the Delaware Valley and places beyond. So, yeah, we want to hear from people today.
Absolutely. So if you've never called the show and you are ticked off, today is your day. 855-839-1210. We will probably do a majority, if not all, of the program on the Trump story from yesterday. A few other things that we potentially could get to. We'll see how things play out. Cut sheet 7:45, Sean Farish at 8:30, and a lot of the reaction and the fallout, the commentary, and where we go from here, especially with sentencing coming up for Trump right before the RNC. Surprisingly, just 4 days before. Purely coincidental, I'm just going to venture to say, just, you know, July 11th, July 15th, what the hey. At this point, why try to hide it, right? 6:03, let's get to the news, round number one, the great Dawn Stenslin.
And good morning, May 31st, we are at 55 degrees, headed up to 77 degrees today. Local news, an off-duty Philadelphia police officer was indeed injured during a robbery and shooting that happened early yesterday morning. So this is a follow-up report. I had talked about it yesterday, but we were not getting all of the details. So it happened in the 5 a.m. hour east 2100 block of East Westmoreland Street in the city's Port Richmond section. Police say the 31-year-old victim, who is the police officer who was off duty, was by his vehicle when an armed man walks up to him and announces that this is a robbery. The off-duty officer takes off running after handing over his belongings. So gives the car keys, gives the wallet, and turns and you know, they always tell you, avert your eyes, walk away. Well, when police say the suspect then followed him, fired multiple shots, so the officer at that point returns fire with his personal weapon and did get, he did suffer a graze wound. So that he was taken to the hospital, later released. He did not suffer any life-threatening injuries or anything of that nature. We don't know if he struck the suspect because he did fire back. So the bad guy remains, the armed and dangerous man remains on the run. The injured officer, who's not being identified at this point, is a 7-year veteran and assigned to the 16th District. Standard operating procedure at this point. I mean, he's still recovering, probably a little shaken up by that situation. Thought that he was doing the right thing as a Philadelphia crime and or carjacking victim. You're always told, turn over your keys, turn over your belongings, avert your eyes, walk away. That's what he did. I guess this guy thought he saw his face or didn't like the way he looked. And so he fired at him, went after him and tried to shoot him. So they're trying to find that armed and dangerous individual. We have a shoplifting suspect in the suburbs. This is Montgomery County. And this shoplifting suspect is accused of biting two police officers in Abington during an arrest.
Biting?
Biting.
I hate biters.
This happened on the evening of May 18th, Dick's Sporting Goods on Moreland Road, there. So police say five women were seen concealing merchandise, stealing merchandise in bags.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we hear about this all the time.
Uh-huh.
And they were stopped when police said they attempted to leave the store without paying for any of the items. One of the suspects, identified as 18-year-old Sonny Reed, was allegedly found with some of the stolen merchandise. But after being taken, after the police were trying to arrest her, she is accused of biting those two police officers before they finally, you know.
What kind of savage animal do you have to be to bite a police officer after you thought you could just get away with shoplifting? I mean, I guess it could be worse. It could have been a Dick's employee that said, hey, put that back. And then he took a chunk out of somebody's forearm.
The truth about human bites, I know this sounds weird, but if you're bitten by a dog, it's actually worse to be bitten by a human.
Really?
Yes. I only know this because one of my kids was bitten by another little human when they were like 8 years old.
Yeah.
And took him, you know, had to get it treated.
Right.
And the pediatrician had told me that.
Yeah, because when you get bit by a dog, the first reaction is rabies or something like that, or, you know, penetrating the skin.
Dogs' mouths are cleaner. Because you know how they, with their saliva, like dogs and cats?
Right.
So a human mouth is, if you will, the saliva contains more germs.
Yeah. Humans are dirty individuals, aren't they? I've always thought that. We're a very grimy species.
So this 18-year-old young lady facing a long list of charges, including aggravated assault, harassment, retail theft. As far as those two officers who were bitten, I don't have the details of where they were bitten. But they did have to get treated for those bite wounds in the hospital.
Well, I guess depending on what the verdict is and the trial and the court case, if this goes that far, if found guilty, the headline of the newspaper can be shoplifter bit off more than she can chew.
Oh, ba-dum-bum.
You see, I could be the headline person for the New York Post.
Other headlines this morning. We knew that yesterday there was that 4 p.m. news conference. I know we'll talk about that this morning as Ocean City officials, you know, addressing public safety after all of the chaos down the Jersey Shore. So we had Ocean City officials, Wildwood officials, many different officials down the shore saying this will not be tolerated. Fights, shoplifting, disorderly conduct, learning some of the details about what was going on. Stores that were forced to close down early. And they're just saying in Ocean City, Wildwood, remember that state of emergency declared for what officials called civil unrest. due to a large number of juveniles in the city. This was going on across the shore. So they're working now with lawmakers on new legislation, tougher legislation, that would indeed allow police officers to engage more with juveniles, saying laws at the state level restrict police officers. The governor's office, the attorney general, have not commented on all of these officials and their news conferences. Just a headline here, because we talked a lot about Mama Bear, Kylie Kelsey, and her, you know, this is Jason's better half, but that confrontation down the shore. Remember yesterday I said that lady who appeared to be liquored up, who confronted the Kelseys, she should apologize. Well, she sobered up. She apologized. I'm sure everybody knew who she was.
Yep.
And she was probably didn't expect that that would go viral, that that would make international news.
Yeah, if you're seeking fame in this lifetime, I don't think that's the right way to go about it. But that's just my personal opinion.
Amen. Well, I know we're going to talk a lot this morning about the other big news of the day, but I do want to give the forecast. What a beautiful Friday. If you could bottle this forecast up, and the weekend looks gorgeous. 77 degrees for your today and bright sunny skies. The clouds, a few clouds this morning will clear. Tomorrow, 84 degrees for your Saturday. And then Sunday, there are some spotty chances of some spotty showers, but all in all, a beautiful weekend. We're in the 80s. And yes, I know we'll get a lot of reaction to all of the fast-breaking developments that happened yesterday in Kale's Big Take. This is Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:10 on this Friday morning. You know what time it is.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And the Big Take this morning is brought to you by Stiles CFO Services. The Big Take, presidential precedent. It'll be a day that none of us should ever forget for the rest of our lives. A day that we should and probably will remember where we were the moment the news came down. Former president and current GOP nominee Donald J. Trump was found guilty on all 34 charges in his New York trial, led by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg and allegedly orchestrated by the Biden DOJ. It was shortly after 4 p.m. on Thursday. Of course, I already typed up and wrote my big take on media and government when the news came across my television in the background as I had Fox News on, and I heard, "The verdict is in. We have a verdict." I heard Neil Cavuto's painful voice say in the backdrop. I immediately propelled myself across the hardwood floor in my computer chair from my desk to my living room where my television is. And immediately I knew I just wasted the last 90 minutes of my life thinking, writing, and typing. But I believe I'm a pretty fair and objective talk show host for the most part. I'm not a Trump fanboy. I don't carry his water. I don't think he is the reincarnation of Christ. I'm a voter of his. I'm a supporter of his. I love his policies. I like his brash statements and balls. I don't agree with 100% of everything, but I'm not a guy to get caught up in the nonsense. I look at results, and in his 4 years, especially the first 3 years, pre-2020, he got them. But what happened to that man yesterday by the system and the establishment is downright sickening, and it sets an awful presidential precedent in this country. If the swamp doesn't like you, they'll stop at no ends to dismantle you. And if they can't get you federally, they'll get you on the state level. If they can't get you on the state level, they'll try to go after you locally. It'll be coordinated. It'll be orchestrated. So if you ever wanted to be the next president of the United States and rule with an iron fist and try to be like Donald Trump, this was a lesson to the nation. Donald Trump was found guilty on all 34 counts in his hush money case in New York City. As Dawn would say, it's a sin. As I would say, it's scary. It's what Donald Trump has been saying all along. Quote, "If they can do this to me, they can do this to you." Here was Fox News contributor and legal analyst Andy McCarthy giving his live reaction moments after the verdict on Fox News. Listen and watch this.
It's a historic trial of a former president of the United States by his partisan adversaries. Whatever you think of the results, it's inconceivable in New York that anyone else other than Donald Trump would ever have been indicted in this way by Alvin Bragg, the elected progressive Democratic district attorney who campaigned on the fact that he would go after Donald Trump, that he had a history of going after Donald Trump. This is a very political exercise, and you have to say that it accomplished what it set out to accomplish. What they wanted was to have a situation where they could call Donald Trump a convicted felon in the run-up to the election. Mm-hmm. We have an elected Democrat who got that accomplished. He got a very friendly judge who ruled his way on every important thing and turned the jury instructions into a roadmap to conviction. So now I assume, with the mission having been accomplished, we'll have more procedural regularity, Shannon. As you just said, there'll be a pre-sentence investigation. Mm-hmm. There should be a sentencing scheduled, and we'll go from there. But this case will be appealed, and I hope that there'll be more fairness and equity in the appeal than there was in the trial.
New York is not a fair and level playing field. We all knew that, and it was validated yesterday. District attorneys at a local level campaigning on this. Political in nature, mission accomplished. America, politically now, is officially a third world country. Thankfully, I'm 40 years old, likely dead by 62, as we have established on this show for 2 years. But what about my daughters? What about future generations? Are we now Mexico? Did you see the story earlier this week? A Mexican political candidate assassinated at point-blank range this week? Are we now China? A surveillance and police state? I think it's hard to argue otherwise. Democrats are many things, but they are not dumb. I thought hung jury, I thought two attorneys on this jury would see that the prosecution failed to reach the burden of proof. But this isn't about putting Trump in prison. Sure, they would like to do that. This isn't about taking him off the campaign trail. Yeah, they are doing that. This is merely about labeling him as a convicted felon. Because the left loves labels. They love putting people in certain boxes. And now they have put him in the convicted felon box. Polls, taken with a grain of salt, have shown that most, if not all, Americans don't care about these court cases and the verdicts, and they won't impact the voting patterns or election results on November 5th. I hope that is true. Hopefully the polls in that regard continue to be wrong. But now, come November 5th, you know the Biden administration, leading up until the election, will be running ads and campaigning on Joe Biden, yelling and shouting, "Will you vote for me or will you vote for a convicted felon?" Get ready for it. It'll be the one sentence the big guy can put together like he actually has a functioning human brain. But here's the silver lining. There are many appealable issues with this verdict. The Trump legal team probably already had their appeals drafted and ready to submit. I would have. And this is more about theatrics and headlines, tabloid material, clickbait, likes and retweets, video shares, buzz, nothing more, nothing less. The Democrats and left-wing crazies, they're going to take their victory lap. I wouldn't engage with them. But Trump will still be on the ballot November 5th and will still be the Republican candidate. And it merely comes down to the American people. Trump has said, quote, "too big to rig." If you want Trump, you better vote mail-in ballot, and you better do everything and with every available possibility and option out there leading up until November 5th. Remember, early voting starts September 16th. Because as I've said, if you wait until November 5th, you've already lost. Take my word on that. But don't forget this as well. Yes, it's 34 counts. Yes, it's 34 guilty verdicts. But it's essentially one count, copied and pasted, 34 times. Remember, we read through the indictment. It was literally a copy and paste job. It was the same charge, just copied and pasted 34 times. But I would tell this to my audience. Stop falling for the rally-sized turnout pictures on social media. Stop falling for the polls. Stop taking the bait. Also, be responsible, be safe, and get your payback between September 16th, when early voting starts. Let me say that for the people in the back. Get your payback between September 16th, when early voting starts, through Election Day, November 5th. This is a painful day for America. And I would never want to do this to a Democrat, because this is not the country that I want to live in. But you have to keep pushing ahead. You have to be optimistic. Life will go on after Donald Trump for the GOP. This isn't the end of times. And we still have 5 months to go. And it can be you, legitimately you right now, that makes the difference. You can take that advice, or you can be defeated and say the fix is in. That's up to you. But I personally choose to plow forward, as pissed off as I am. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
We will take your thoughts and reactions all morning long from yesterday's big news, yesterday's historic first at 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, in the YouTube chat, just go to Kale and Company's YouTube page. That's youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. Big Take brought to you by Stiles CFO Services. Stiles CFO Services, they offer a full suite of accounting and financial services to help transform your company. Big or small, visit stilescfo.com for your free 21-point assessment. Every organization needs a financial leader. Let Stiles CFO Services be yours. Lots of reaction on the way as we continue this morning. It's a Friday edition of Kale and Company. Nick, Dawn, and Greg here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hopefully you've been listening to my picks here, because I took the Dallas Mavericks last night and they beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 124-103 in the NBA playoffs. Dallas now leads the series 4-1. Boston Celtics have already secured their spot in the finals. It's not too late, though, to get in on the action with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, because right now new customers can get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to use on same-game parlays, live bets, championship futures, so much more. There's no better place to bet on all of the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg, FanDuel.com/Greg to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHT and the NBA, 21 and over, present in PA. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
This was a disgrace. This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area. This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. But the real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here. You have a Soros-backed DA. And the whole thing, we didn't do a thing wrong. I'm a very innocent man, and it's okay. I'm fighting for our country. I'm fighting for our Constitution. Our whole country is being rigged right now. This was done by the Biden administration in order to wound or hurt an opponent, a political opponent. And I think it's just a disgrace. And we'll keep fighting. We'll fight till the end, and we'll win, because our country's gone to hell. We don't have the same country anymore. We have a divided mess. We're a nation in decline, serious decline. Millions and millions of people pouring into our country right now from prisons and from mental institutions, terrorists, and they're taking over our country. We have a country that's in big trouble, but this was a rigged decision right from day one with a conflicted judge who should have never been allowed to try this case, never. And we will fight for our Constitution. This is long from over. Thank you very much.
There he was, Donald J. Trump, yesterday after the guilty verdict and the conviction comes in on a day in which it looked like day number two was going to end without the jury returning with a verdict, as it felt like, what, early in the 4 o'clock hour, and apparently there was all sorts of mass confusion. The judge thought it was over for the day. The jury was going to go home. And then all of a sudden there was this misunderstanding and the judge is like, oh, we do have a verdict. And then within probably 20 or 30 minutes after that curveball was thrown, we got the announcement, which we played for you in the big take, the reaction, and of course, Donald Trump yesterday. Nick, Dawn, and Greg here. It's Kale and Company on this Friday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Your thoughts, your reaction, certainly encouraged. 855-839-1210. Dawn, your thoughts yesterday as this was playing out in real time, as the dinner hour was approaching and the news came in, what was going through your mind throughout the afternoon, and then obviously once the verdict came in?
When it came in, I was not surprised. I was disappointed. You kind of go through those phases. It's like grieving where you're disappointed that somebody on the jury didn't say something. I think that they were, in fact, handcuffed and closed in by those judges' instructions, which is why the instructions by the judge. Of course, this will all be appealed. I have no question. It'll be overturned. And I actually think that's why the Democrats in this chess game that the Democrats are always good at planning, that's why they've been going after Justice Alito. The other day I was thinking, why are all the headlines about Justice Alito and a stupid flag?
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday as I'm watching and going through these, you know, it's just infuriating and it's disappointing. And then I was listening to Zioli on the air because I was, you know, taking my kid to on a beautiful evening to a track meet, and he's talking about this and he's angry, but he says it's really bad for the country because this is now par for the course. This is what we're going to see. And then I started thinking about, wait a minute, how many Americans are actually felons? I thought the Democrats were the ones who said we should not brand people. We should not brand people as a felon, offender, convict, addict, juvenile delinquent. All those types of language should be dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked it up, and nearly 80 million plus Americans, about one third of the U.S. adult population, have a criminal record. And about 20 million are convicted felons
mm-hmm.
with a permanent record. So what happened to all this justice reform and the people first language? And isn't that a problem for Democrats? Because they've been saying, oh, well, you know, this is racist. If you don't use person first language, you should never brand somebody because, you know, they've gone through the system, so-called.
Yeah. Remember, we played that clip earlier this week in one of the criminal justice systems in the country. I think it was in Illinois, or maybe it's in Chicago, where they changed the terminology.
San Francisco.
For the offender, right? Yeah. But no, felon, that label will stick with Donald Trump for sure. But I think perspective really does matter. And legal perspective certainly is the theme of the day. Yes, we have precedent established now, but Jonathan Turley has a great quote, and I want to read this. It's only a one-sentence quote, but I want people to remember this. Jonathan Turley said yesterday, this is not the only court. It's just the first one. So when we talk about the appellate process and appellate courts and the appeals and how long this will take, I mean, we might now, yes, we do have sentencing coming up on July 11th, 4 days before the RNC convention in Milwaukee on July 15th, but they're talking 3 or 4 months before this appeals process plays out. There's a good chance, not a great chance, but a good chance that this isn't even resolved from an appeals process before November 5th. He's going to appeal to every single court possible and work its way up throughout the system. And you had so many people weighing in and reacting yesterday. I thought DeSantis made a great post, Ron DeSantis, saying today's verdict represents the culmination of a legal process that has been bent to the political will of the actors involved. A leftist prosecutor, a partisan judge, and a jury reflective of one of the most liberal enclaves in America, all in an effort to get Donald Trump. That this case involved involving alleged misdemeanor business record violations from nearly a decade ago was even brought is a testament to the political debasement of the justice system in places like New York City. This is especially true considering this same district attorney routinely excuses criminal conduct in a way that has endangered law-abiding citizens in his jurisdiction. It is often said that no one is above the law, but it is also true that no one is below the law. If the defendant were not Donald Trump, this case would never have been brought. The judge would have never issued similar rulings, and the jury would have never returned a guilty verdict. In America, and keep in mind, DeSantis has a law degree as well, the rule of law should be applied in a dispassionate, even-handed manner and not become captive to the political agenda of some kangaroo court. I thought that was really well said by DeSantis. I checked last night to see if Nikki Haley posted anything. As of like 9 o'clock last night, I did not see anything that she tweeted. But DeSantis coming out and saying that. And there's a lot of other reactions that we will read along the way. I will say this. I'm not shocked but I am a little surprised. Considering I thought we were going to wrap up day two of jury deliberation yesterday, I thought we were really heading towards what my prediction was, and that was a hung jury. Again, I'll cite the fact that there are two attorneys on the jury. Now, they could be very liberal. They could hate Donald Trump's guts. They could be setting aside their legal expertise. But you'll never convince me, and I know it doesn't matter what I say, but you will never convince me that the prosecution proved this case beyond a reasonable doubt. And I get it. I was not there. Dawn, you're not there. Stocker, you're not there. Even, you know, the legal scholars that do have access to that courtroom, from Turley to McCarthy to Honig to the fanboy on MSNBC that has posters of Judge Juan Merchan in his bedroom. I'm surprised, because overwhelmingly the legal expertise reaction and recaps for 4 weeks was, the prosecution is swinging and missing. And for whatever reason, it did not matter to that jury. You know, we've talked about, you know, the O.J. Simpson case. That case was proved beyond a reasonable doubt. They voted to acquit O.J. Simpson. This case, I didn't think the prosecution came close to beyond a reasonable doubt. And apparently that didn't matter. But I would like to know, and I do believe that eventually these jurors will talk. A lot of them will want the camera time, the microphone time. You know, there's probably going to be some of these.
Oh, I disagree with that. Yeah. Oh, I disagree with that.
Really?
Oh, my God. They're all going to go into hiding. Zero chance we're going to hear from any of them.
I totally disagree. I think there will be people.
Bet against me again.
See
how that works out for you.
From a greed and celebrity standpoint. People want to cash in on their moment. I think there's going to be people that actually write books about this. I think this is, there's maybe people out there that are going to say, hey, you know what? And a book publisher is going to come to, and I'm just spitballing here, you know, juror number four, for example. And they're going to talk to these people. And if they want to have their identity revealed and have their 15 minutes of fame and go on The View. And
so, you know, do you want to hear from them? Because you want to hear how much the judge's instructions.
Yes.
Because they had the judge's instructions reread to them multiple times, right?
Absolutely. Yep, I think there are people that will eventually talk because they can capitalize and cash in on this. Now, I don't know if that puts them in fear of retribution or anything like that, but I do think there will be some people that speak. But ultimately, my next thought process, and I know it's about this case specifically, but moving forward, in my opinion, this was the flimsiest of the four cases. And you got a 12 out of 12 guilty verdict. Is that a warning sign for the next three cases to come?
Yeah, but I don't know that the other ones will actually make it to trial.
Before election, November 5th.
Before November 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, you know, Trump's attorneys have already said that everything's on the table. They whatever appeals they put in for will be expedited. I suspect this will go to SCOTUS. And I'm serious. I think that's why they, in the media, I think that the fix was in, what was that, a week or two ago? They started talking about Justice Alito. I think Democrats said, all right, this is, they're going to, if they, you know, hopefully get the guilty, you know, the guilty verdict. So what happens next? They're going to appeal it to the Supreme Court. It's going to make its way quickly. It'll be expedited. They're going to take it. So we got to take out Justice Alito.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look for, and that's that whole ridiculous upside down American flag in distress.
Right.
Last summer, what? Why is that in the headlines for the past couple weeks?
Mm-hmm.
That's why, because the Democrats think ahead and they thought, all right, get that talking point out, people. Get. And so I think it's important, all of, you know, the committees with subpoena power to get all of the transmissions between the White House and DOJ, but White House officials and the media and all of these different courts and DAs. That is critical.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you catch them.
Yeah. And that takes time, unfortunately. You're starting.
Because they refuse to give it up.
COVID being a perfect example. Now we're starting to see how Fauci was destroying documents and these other email accounts that he allegedly had. And here we are. This is 3.5, 4 years later. So, like, you know, until that day comes, you know, we're going to be looking at a point where Donald Trump is long out of the political spectrum. And we're probably getting ready for the 2028 election at that point. Just to show you really how difficult of a case this was actually for Trump to overcome and be found not guilty. Turley had a great quote yesterday as well. Jonathan Turley from Fox News. He said, quote, "It was an effective shortening of the football field. This was an impossible task given the instructions the court asked. It had the feel of a canned hunt. People are allowed to hunt game and shoot in a cage or small space because the judge allowed that. I don't know what the president was convicted of," he still says to this day. Jonathan Turley, maybe the brightest legal mind out there in media to this day, at this moment in time at 6:39 a.m. on Friday, May 31st, does not know what Donald Trump was convicted of. So for everybody out there that's outraged and ticked off, you have every right to be, because even the brightest legal experts are like, we still don't know what exactly has occurred here in this case. But I would like to know if there was one or two, and at this point we don't know how many jurors were caught up on something, confused by something, whether it was the judge's instructions, whether it was the charges, going back and revisiting testimony and evidence. If there was somebody that was, you know, on the verge of going towards the hung jury or the acquittal, what changed behind closed doors? What conversations were had? What foreperson of the jury said something or convinced them? Because I've always found those dynamics to be very interesting, where you've seen it, and I know it's just the movies, but you see these juries and they're in a conference room and they do a straw poll, or they put their verdict in a hat and then they reveal it, and then they go back through things, and then they have to explain why they're going to vote not guilty or they're hung up on something. Who was it? Why did they change their mind? And was that actually the case, or was it just mere confusion? Because according to all of these legal experts, Judge Juan Merchan's instructions were, what, 90 minutes alone?
Yes.
I mean, so, you know, I even
and they were read back at least twice.
Yeah. So I still think there's a lot of people that were on that jury for 4.5, 5 weeks, whatever the total duration of time was, that are probably sitting here today saying, you know what, I need about 14 Tylenol. My head hurts trying to process all of this.
So. Trump's lawyer, Todd Blanche, made the rounds on cable news yesterday.
Yep.
He was on Jesse Waters last night. Phil, if you can bring up cut 10 here. He said that Trump was very much involved in picking the jury.
Boy.
Cut 10, Phil, go.
Were you satisfied with jury selection? And was the former president involved in that in any way?
I mean, very much involved. He was right there with the whole team talking about the potential jurors. Look, was I satisfied? We put a motion in because we said we could not get a fair jury in Manhattan. And that's not I'm not being disparaging to the jurors, man. They were great. They showed up on time every day. They were committed. They paid attention. But we're in a situation where we had a very limited number of people we could strike. And most of the folks, overwhelming number of folks, had a very strong opinion of President Trump, and it wasn't positive. And so imagine you, Jesse, going to trial facing 34 felony counts, and 100 people walk in the room, and the judge says, if you have a strong view of Jesse Waters, you can go ahead and leave. Half the room leaves. Half the room just walks out. Okay, so that's what we were dealing with. And look, that's not a reflection of the jury pool. That's not even a reflection of the judge. That's just the reality of New York City.
Yeah, it's the reality of the venue being New York City, and also how polarizing Donald Trump is. We've said this many times on this show. We could send Anthony or Phil or Daniel Valdez out to do a man about the town and get a thought on Donald Trump, and there's probably going to be nobody in downtown Philadelphia that doesn't have a view one way or the other on Trump. You know, it's almost impossible for anybody to say, who? Never heard of him, or eh. Yeah, I don't really have a thought one way or the other.
Well, we said that from the beginning.
Right.
I mean, it's damn near impossible,
yep,
to find anybody who is kind of like Trump. Eh.
Yeah.
Nobody. There's probably, it's probably 2% of the country, if that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So yeah. it's almost impossible. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, and I think for New York, for Manhattan, to have this trial go down, I think these jurors felt in their own bubble that they are some kind of a patriot. Because if you think about it, let's say if he had been acquitted, if Trump was acquitted, and so many people said this, oh, if he wouldn't that be great? If he's acquitted, he wins November 5th. That's a slam dunk, and this will be such a slap in the face. It was so political that I think these individuals thought, you know what, it's just, he must be guilty. He must be that convicted felon that, you know, we're going to brand him because he must be taken down because he is a threat to democracy. And it became so partisan and so political. I think in their minds, I really do. I think they felt, first of all, they were listening to the judge's instructions, which essentially gave them no choice but to say guilty. And it was so confusing. But at the same time, I think there's probably in many of those jurors' minds, they thought, you know what, I'm being a patriot. I'm doing the right thing for my country.
Mm-hmm. And your point, too, about Turley, and I think that we need to take a lot of these pundits, no matter what side of the aisle they're on, these talking heads with a grain of salt. Because everybody can talk about what a brilliant political mind Jonathan Turley is, but he got this case dead wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to take these people...
He didn't get it wrong, Greg. It's just, I mean, he was talking about the law. Right? He was just saying what the actual law.
Yes, he was, but his point was that any jury can't convict this. And like he's going on talking partisanly about this case. And you have to be skeptical of anybody who does that. We called out Weissman or mm-hmm. whatever that guy's name was.
Sean's fanboy.
We have to call out the people, too, who are like, well, this is a slam dunk.
They all got it wrong. Honestly, Ellie Honig, honestly, if you took Ellie Honig's words, they were very similar to Turley.
Right, and, because they're talking about the law. They weren't wrong. They were talking about what is normal, right? They weren't wrong in talking about what is the normal procedure. What is the normal situation? What happens in a normal case? That's all they were laying out. Here's the law.
They were saying
here's
things,
what the law
they were
says.
Saying things that they thought the audience that was watching them wanted to hear. That is the God's honest truth. They
well,
all
no,
do
you
that.
You played the clips of CNN people who were stunned by certain things.
I'm just telling you, stop listening to these talking heads. They don't know what they're talking about.
I listen to all of them. I watch Rachel Maddow. I watch Lawrence O'Donnell. I review all media. I consume the full buffet, the right, the left, the middle. And I'm telling you that most of these so-called pundits, when they looked at the law, there were certain pieces of this case that were rare, unusual, that were not the norm of the law, and that the judge was doing throughout his procedures were highly, highly all unusual and inconsistent.
All I'm saying is that you can't. These people are paid to give these opinions. 99% of the time, these opinions are wrong. You know what I mean? Like that. It's like the polls.
No, it's not.
We keep having these
polls. I disagree with you completely.
But you have to separate the talking heads versus the legal experts.
Right.
I don't consider Turley to be a talking head.
Yes, of course he is. He is paid to be a talking head.
But listen. When you're talking about the law, and you're saying this is the law. This is in the book, right? And this is like sports. Right? You can talk about what is in sports. What is the law?
Mm-hmm.
What does it say? So again, I'll go back to playing Monopoly with my brother, John. Okay. In the fine print, my brother said, well, I've memorized the instructions. He was always winning until I realized that John was claiming that he was the authority on those instructions and he was changing the rules to go for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you actually read the answer, you're like, no, that's not what the rules say.
Right, you don't get to rewrite the rules mid-game.
You don't get to rewrite. So the Constitution is pretty clear-cut. This judge was going against the norm of the interpretation of the Constitution and New York State law and the normal procedures. And that's why these legal experts were saying, hey, when I look at the law and I look at what normally happens in court, there are a lot of unusual situations going on. That's all I'm saying.
There's a couple of the legal analysts that are saying that three amendments were violated in this case as well. The First Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, and the Sixth Amendment in regards to, you know, Donald Trump and, quote, a fair trial. RFK Jr. comes out and says the Democratic Party's strategy is to beat President Trump in the courtroom rather than the ballot box. He says this will backfire in November. We'll see if that comes to fruition or not as well. Also, some of the polls that I posted on Twitter last night, pretty reflective of what we've been talking about. I asked people, after today's verdict, are you more likely to vote Trump, less likely to vote Trump, or not affected at all by the ruling in Trump's case? 66% more likely, 24% no change, 10% less likely. So we'll see how this plays out, but we'll get your thoughts. We'll get your reactions. 855-839-1210. Let's start with Mike. He's up first this morning in Abington. Mike, good morning. How are you?
How are you? I guess my big question is, you know, how long do we conservatives carry his water? How long do we do just gymnastics? And this is kind of a dawn. I'm gonna talk to you for a minute. Mm-hmm. You're a mama bear. You know, you protect your children.
Yes.
I heard an interview the other day he did on Howard Stern where he laughed about, it was about probably a year ago, where he said that, you know, he was the only guy, because he owned the Miss Teen USA pageant, that could go backstage and see them naked. And I looked into it, and there were complaints by the young girls. If that was your daughter, would you still be voting for him? I've had enough of carrying his water. I read a book by his wife, not some of the 18 women who accused him of things. His wife said that he walked in angry at her, that he had got surgery in his head, ripped her hair out in a bloody clump, raped her, and in the morning laughed at her saying, does it hurt? That's the wife, the mother of his children, not some nobody. I'm starting to feel, how long do we, because his policies are better, they are better, I'm starting to feel, how long and to what degree do we take this? That it's like my grandmother used to say, why is it always you? You know, we can sit here and say, he can beat this rap. He can beat this rap. He can beat this rap. He's got flesh-eating lawyers. That's great. But why is it always him? He sleeps with a hooker. He sleeps with a porn star. He'll get away with it. Who are we? Are we the brain trust that we used to be?
First of all, I'll say this. I interviewed Ivana Trump, the late Ivana Trump, who unfortunately and sadly has passed away. But in my career, I interviewed Ivana Trump. She did say, referring to that, because that's, you know, we're talking about somebody who tragically passed away during their very nasty divorce, and it was an ugly divorce, which probably half of Americans have had a divorce. Divorces, as you know, I don't know if you're married, divorced, but they can be ugly. She did say during the divorce, she said that Trump had raped her. Trump denied it. Ivana Trump herself said later she retracted that. She said she didn't mean it literally. These are her words, not mine. But she said that she felt violated by him and was upset about the divorce and so on. I interviewed, she was a lovely lady, but those are her words that I'm quoting. So I'm not going to get into somebody's marriage and somebody's divorce. That divorce happened, I think, in 1990. So there's that one. As far as the Stern interviews that happened years ago, okay, if we want to go down that road, he did say, yeah, I can go backstage and see people. He wasn't showering with his daughter naked. He wasn't breaking into an area. That's not what was happening. Did he walk backstage when different people are dressing? Apparently he did. He talked about it openly. That's a fact. If you don't want to vote for him because at some point he did that, look, I will tell you that if you want to go down this road and you want to look into every boss you've worked for, every government leader, and you want to put them to the standard, then there are going to be a lot of men out of work.
I am beyond reproach, by the way. So thank you.
I'm not talking about Greg.
Yeah.
But my co-anchors, right. Oh my goodness, mm-hmm. Co-anchors on the air
yeah.
Right now in Philadelphia, I could tell you stories.
Sure.
So if you want to go down this road and talk about and go back two decades with people or more, I mean, you're talking about Trump in the 90s or whatever have you. Okay, we can go down that road. And if we want to put everybody out there and expose everybody, including Joe Biden, because let us not forget that Joe Biden, by Ms. Reed, has been accused of rape, his own daughter's stuff. It's so nasty. I'm not going to get into it. But if we want to get into all that stuff, okay, let's put it all out on the table.
Yep. But I would say this, too, as far as carrying the water for conservatives, like he was saying originally. I mean, it's revisionist history at this point. We could always go back and look at it. Hindsight's 20/20. But if you thought Trump was the best option and now you're having second doubts, well, I mean, you had alternatives. That's why there was a primary. That's why you could have went with DeSantis or Haley or Ramaswamy or any of those other people. But a majority of Republicans wanted Trump, and that's a decision that you'll have to, live with.
Because it's policy.
All right, we got to go. All right.
It's policy, it's economy. That's what people care about.
Back
after this. Look at Bill Clinton.
All right, back after this.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.